You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:08 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. If you missed the first hour, sucks for you, as we like to say. You can catch it on the old podcaster at KVOI.com. Not only did we have a good conversation with the sports intern about baseball opening up and things like that, but the interview with Acting Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan, had some good meat in there in relation to what's going on with Mexico border and Arizona and the whole picture there. 400,000 people are now not coming through the Mexican border. That's a not-so-good thing, because there's a lot of money in there that gets spent on this side of... This is, I brought this up 3-4 weeks ago, that lack of Mexican shopper coming to Tucson and then what's going on in Mexico is not good for what's going on. So if you missed that interview with Mark Morgan, go to KVOI.com, hit podcast. Let's go to David Schweikert from the great town of Fountain Hills. I was just there last Saturday in Fountain Hills. It looks beautiful. Yeah, it was.
And you didn't stop by and say hi?
You were in D.C. last weekend?
Invited. I just was curious if you were going to try.
You're kind of sensitive about that stuff, so I don't want to, have your security guards.
Construction project we could have used your help on.
I was at the Chompies down the street getting a bagel.
Sure.
You guys had fires up there, right?
Not right where we are, but in the very top part of the Metroplex area up near Cave Creek.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly good-sized fire.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend coming up. Fire restrictions, be careful, please.
Well, let's start with the silly. We'll do it with you while you're here, David. We had Kamala Harris introduce a bill that you're not allowed to say Wu flu, Kung flu, China flu. Can the madness just keep going here?
Oh, of course it is.
Of course it can.
You remember how I try to say repeatedly, everything is sort of weaponized, everything is symbolic, everything. And if you're a leftist in your world, the title is what's important, not the reality.
Right.
So, sort of what you get.
So basically anything that Trump does, they're always going to do the opposite. So if he says China flu, we have to have a bill that says no public official can say the word China flu. If he says he's taking hydroxychloroquine, even though it seems to be kind of helping a good amount of people out there, of course he's going to die, and that's the most horrible thing. So that's just going to get more ramped up by the time we get to November 5th?
That's
where we're at?
It's sort of a quick sort of question. Think of some of the folks you've met that are on the Democrat side who seem to almost have this weird fixation on the president.
That's everyone in Tucson, around the U of A.
Look, I understand. A lot of us on the more conservative side, had great interests and concerns on the previous president. But unlike what's going on now, where it's almost like a religion, I have this woman who texts me every couple days, and she sits and reads, analyzes every text, every tweet that the president sends out. And I'm trying to figure out, how does someone have that much time and energy to actually have someone that deep into their mind?
So let's talk about one of the things I want to talk about. We were talking about we've used this phrase, perverse incentives, in relation to the extra $600 a week, and of course, this 13,000, 38,000 for COVID ventilator stuff. Let's start with the $600 a week. We just had a listener call yesterday that his landscaper basically went out of business. Part of it is that she can't get her crew to come back to work because of the $600.
I was on the phone yesterday with a local restaurant here in the Phoenix area, and they're having great difficulty getting their workers to come back. And to his credit, he says he is doing fairly well right now with people wanting to come in his new space, out the door. But he can't compete with the current unemployment numbers. And we knew this was going to happen. They tried to change it in the Senate. It went down on a party line vote. And so once again, we've created an incentive not to work. It's sort of like the bill from last week, Nancy Pelosi's $3 trillion bill. If you went through it, it was designed in many ways to be anti-work and subsidize you for staying at home. And I can't sort of get my head around why it's designed, why the Democrats keep designing these things backwards to disincentivize, being part of society, being out there working, we're living in a world that's backwards.
Well, that's very true. So what was the change that the Senate wanted to make on the extra 600? What did they want to do that didn't get through, remember?
Yeah, they were trying, and I don't remember the actual wording of the amendments, but they offered up an amendment. I think it was going to provide a variance for different areas, because the fact of the matter is, cost of living and mechanisms, if you're in New York City, are very different than if you're in, rural Iowa. And they tried to do that. It got shot down. And we were talking about this during, the very first piece of legislation, that we were going to see the time when the economy started, when society started to open up again, many workers would be incentivized to stay home and not come back into the economy.
It lasts until July, right? The extra 600, right?
Yes.
And at the same time, Mnuchin said, I guess a couple of days ago, the Treasury Secretary, that if you're a worker who is invited to come back to work by your employer and you say you don't, you're then, if your employer should be reporting you and kicking you off the extra 600. Is that what the dynamic's supposed to be?
That was always what Mnuchin and the excuse of was being used is, hey, we have state laws that say once you're offered, because they're relying on whatever the state law is, if you're actually offered the job and you don't take it, then you sort of void your access to the unemployment insurance. Different states have different rules. A lot of states, and there's even some language in the federal, that if you have a credible fear or this and that, it's just on the scale we're at right now, it's going to be really hard to reinforce that. So a number of us, and the nice thing, I think there's a couple of Democrats who are hopefully going to come along with us. We're trying to figure out, how do you take that $600 and take a portion of it and make it almost a bonus for going back to work?
Actually, okay.
And so, but as dysfunctional as D.C. is right now, who knows if any good ideas can survive.
Tell me about the, you remember the old East Clean Eastwood movie, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, correct?
Oh, yes.
Great soundtrack. Give me the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of PPP now that we're several weeks after the institution of this program.
Pumped a stunning amount of money out the door very fast, in a scale that was unprecedented. The ugly is just, when you're trying to set up something at that scale, it's hard. You had a lot of lenders that just weren't prepared to actually deal with it. But can I give you one thing that has surprised a lot of us?
Yes,
you know, there's still $100 billion in the fund. It has not been. Remember when we did the second tranche after the Democrats stalled for 14 days? we recapitalized the fund because the first tranche of money got used up so quickly. We kept being told, oh, the second tranche is also going to get used up really quick. There's still $100 billion sitting in that fund.
That's insane. Because I have companies in Tucson right now who said, oh, I can't get PP. I tried, I applied, and I haven't gotten anything.
Yeah, they need to change which lender they're working through.
That's what I was going to ask. My next question was, what have we found is the sweet spot of lender that's making more of these happen?
Okay. Treasury changed the rules weeks ago. So you could go out and visit your local credit union, your small bank, your big bank, and you can open up an application at multiple locations. And as soon as you get money, you cancel the others. And that's the rule. And we've been just stunned. A lot of the people we've been working with in our office who have found really small banks. The crazy thing is, I have a local business down the street that got their money. They were having all sorts of trouble with one of the big banks. And they went into Chicanos for La Casa. And they processed the PPP loan for them.
Wow.
So if you've hit the wall, immediately go find, is there a credit union? Is there that two-branch bank? Is there someone around you that you can access? And we've been advising a number of our little businesses, go do it in two or three places that are close to you.
So you said there's still $100 billion. Is that what you're saying? That hasn't.
Yep.
Okay. One last question before we go to break. The story is, so we know we had non-emergency surgeries were shelved, which was a mistake during this whole thing. We see that Planned Parenthood was allowed to operate but still get $80 million of PPP money. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, it shouldn't have. The lawyers have come back and said there's this affiliate rule in the original legislation, and this affected a lot of different organizations, and that their model would not fit into those rules. And I think that's why the administration, for them and some others out there, the Treasury is now asking for the return of the money.
David, I'm going to hold you for one more segment. I can hear the birds in the back. It sounds very nice in the backyard.
Okay.
So David Schweikert, Congressman, Ed Alexander, we're doing the good and the bad and the ugly theme for our last conversation here. $100 billion still not used in the PPP money. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.
In the streets of D.C., baby.
So, 7:24 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We're talking with Congressman David Schweikert up in the Phoenix Fountain Hills area. David, I just posted our discussion on my Facebook page about the $100 billion of PPP money that has been accessed. I actually just found that video. You did a town hall with three human beings about how to navigate the PPP waters a little better, and I posted that up. So if anyone wants to watch that, go to my Facebook page. It's actually a really nice summary and some tips on how to do this better.
Well, we also actually have been focusing on, for those who have been able to access the money, how do you make sure you're following the rules? By following the rules, it becomes a grant. You get to keep it. You don't have to pay it back. And so we actually have done a couple videos like that where we brought in some CPAs to walk you through what we know, what we don't know. But that's important. It's not enough just to be able to get the payroll protection money. It's also important to saying if you're going to try to make it a grant, follow the rules.
Hey, listener Linda had a question. She said that she's do her stimulus check. She doesn't do online the direct deposit, right? She hasn't gotten her check yet, and at the same time, when she goes to the IRS.gov and she puts in all her information, they don't tell her she's not getting one. It just says, oh, we can't access your information all the time. What would be your suggestion for her?
Now, that's an interesting one. I'm actually going to say call her a congressperson. and I'm serious about this because we've been able to access some help over at the IRS. They've set up a little war room to help some of the inbound when we can get to that. So I would call whoever your congressperson is and just say, can you help me figure this out? Because that surprises me. They've upgraded that website. It had gotten better. So,
well, let me do a little bit with Ed Alexander. Ed, who's the two congresspeople down in Tucson?
Grijalva. Thank you. And I don't know. Oh, my God. Is it Ann Kirkpatrick? She's still my congressperson?
Anyway, so please, Linda. Oh,
thanks.
And if not, call our office. We'll help, too.
Thank you, sir. We've got a couple minutes left. Tell me, what is the best thing the federal government can be doing over the next 30 days to make reopening the American economy better, safer, in a safe way? What would you say?
We don't have that much time.
But, I know.
But there's a combination of how do you make sure that if you're the little business, that everyone sort of understands, here's the protocols, here's the rules, here's how we do this safely. Because it's really important that if you're going to open up your society, we do it in a smart fashion, that we don't get another wave of virus. We've sort of learned our lesson, and we attack this in a smart way. And I had the great experience last week. I went and got the haircut, and you could see everything. We're all wearing masks. Everyone's thing being sanitized, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And you left there feeling that saying, okay, that worked. They followed the rules. I'm comfortable. Because we're actually sort of worried about also sort of that psychological thing of if someone has a bad experience, do they go back home and hunker down again?
Right.
And you really can't get sort of the velocity going in the economy if that happens. So even if you're not thrilled with wearing a mask, even if you find it incredibly annoying, if you're going into a more crowded space, wear it. It's as much for, perception of helping people feel comfortable that they can get out there and start engaging in commerce, as it is also for the health aspects. So, look, I'm hopeful. I also do believe we've done stunning damage to the economy and the psyche. And now we don't have a choice. We have to find this rational sweet spot to get things going again.
And I think Doug has had the right attitude with the businesses in the last couple of weeks. Says, hey, do this right. We believe in you as good business owners. Just make it happen. And I believe that a majority of them are going to make that happen. So,
from what I'm seeing in my travels the last couple of days, I'm very proud of some of the small businesses we visited.
David, thanks for your time as always, man. Say hi to your family. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Congressman David Schweikert.
Tomorrow, the Secretary of Interior is going to be with us. Ted Maxwell. Mark, with movies, you know anything about movies?
2000 to 2009, best 10 movies. So you love my mom did an on-demand of Good Will Hunting. She never seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because Mark talked about it. Too many F-bombs in it.
Oh, really? Turned I don't remember mom. That.
Ah, so, it wasn't as bad as Scarface, but...
Yeah.
You effing cockroaches.
They didn't kill as many people in it either, yeah.
First and foremost, let's get to this Pima County meeting. This is going on today at 2 o'clock. So I put it up on the Wastebook yesterday. A couple of people took a run at it just trying to get back. So here's the changes. Actually, before I do that, let's set this up. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, one of the best reporters ever in Arizona history. It's like John C. on that one. One of the best reporters ever. The chairman of the Board of Supes gave Doug Ducey a heads up the day before the board approved additional measures governing reopening restaurants.
So?
Supposedly, you're going to love this.
So?
He said that because the business owners and the public wanted more specifics than the state offered.
Bull.
You know when they do a decision at the Board of Supes, that's one of the things about like taxing roads, and they'll go, they want more taxes because they didn't fix the roads in the first place, and they paint in that corner, and they'll go, oh, more people showed up saying, hey, we want great roads, right? So then when they do this, and then they get pounded by the restaurant owners like, well, Governor Ducey, although the restaurant owners wanted it because you just left them adrift. Basically, because they're assuming the restaurant owners are dumbasses at that point,
yeah,
and don't know how to do a clean job of doing a sanitary job of serving food and drink. So in a May 12th letter to Doug Ducey, Ramon Valadez outlined the task force, and the board said it had developed measures designed to meet the general conditions, but provided specificity, based on best public health practices. Valadez said he anticipated that the board would approve 17 specific measures. Why would you anticipate that? That's an actual open meeting law violation.
Oh. So amateur.
So when the board chair in a letter to the governor in an official correspondence says he anticipated there'd be at least three votes, does he somehow know how Betty and Sharon were going to vote?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That sounds like coordinating a little bit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's the star? Oh, I'm sorry. Where's Blue Check? Oh, where's Jim? Oh, nowhere. That's right. Nothing better. He admits an open meeting violation in the letter.
The dead star.
On May 13th, the board added 15 of the 17 measures and called the other two recommendations. Let's see what else
we got. It takes a good pandemic to finally show the rest of the world what we've known all along.
It gets better.
In this county.
The letter was copied to Foghorn Leghorn. Mayors and officials of Tucson, South Tucson, Marana, Sarita, and Oro Valley, but not to any members of the Board of Supes. So that means Ramon Valadez and Chuck Huckleberry, or Ramon at least, did not want Allie Miller and Steve Christie to see the letter to the governor.
That's crazy.
So if we just do, I don't know what the real numbers are, but if there's five districts that represent a county of, I don't know, what's that? A million divided by five, carry the four, ampersand, square root. That's 200,000 a district. So what you're saying is the duly elected officials of 400,000. Oh, and the two districts that pay most of the property taxes in this town did not, Ramon Valadez disrespected the 400,000 people by not telling their supervisors this was coming up. Is that what I'm hearing? It just feels like it a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, this is gold. If he said he anticipated that they were going to pass it, all right, that's an open meeting violation. Okay? If he, let's see what else. And the idea that the Allie and Steve Christie did not get a copy of it, and everyone else did.
It's not the first time.
I'm just saying.
I know it.
These are the four-year-olds we're dealing with, is what I'm saying.
Running and ruining your life and your business, your roads, your health care, everything. Ramon Valdez.
Let's see. Let me.
See, for re-election, yeah.
Of course, he's going against your buddy, the doctor.
Oh God. Oh. Yeah. Now I see why you say even the doctor is better than this, and the doctor is a loser. God.
Let's see. We appreciate your guidance. Hold on, I gotta. Let's go through this letter from Ramon. This is exciting radio, as we like to say. Find anticipated. I'll find it before it's all over. So let's keep going with the letter. Let's go.
Is it on the Green Valley News?
It is on the Green Valley News. I'll put it up on my Facebook page.
I'll look at it, help you look for it.
That's okay. And so Allie and Steve were not allowed to see this before this letter. I don't know when they were finally going to get it. Thank God Dan Shearer did a FOIA or something on it. Emergency meeting at 2 o'clock today. 6-hour meeting, that was the one on Tuesday. Like guys like Sam Alboy from Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue said, you guys should get rid of all of these. Steve Christie asked for a vote to get rid of all of these, and that got shot down on a 3-2. Here's on Wednesday, Ducey gave a clue on how the state views Pima County's actions when asked about it at his daily press conference. Here's the answer from Doug Ducey at his press conference yesterday to Pima County. the guidance that the CDC and White House have given the state of Arizona was that we could go county by county or statewide. The guidance we have put out is statewide, and that's what we expect municipalities to follow. Those are their guidelines, unquote. Have a nice day, Ramon Valadez. So that means the AG's investigation is still going on with them. Goldwater sent them a letter. I don't know how that's going to work. The 1487, they could hold back state shared revenue from Pima County if they keep wanting to play this game.
Yeah, so, they can. That's, the governor already said that.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
So when we come back, I'm going to go through the changes that Chucky Boy is presenting to them today at 2.
The walk back, what do you call it?
The walk, it's absolutely a walk back, Ed Alexander. I'm going to show you morons how you do the walk back, coming up with Foghorn Leghorn and the Chicken Hawk. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. Uh-oh, here we go.
Wake up, Tucson. It's Dionne Warwick, Miss Cleo, the Spinners, Chris and Ed, and you, baby.
I think I've gone, me and Dionne are good now after okay. I didn't include her with Miss Cleo as doing better than the COVID modelers. So so a listener who I have to, you know, there's the blessing, right, Kyle?
Yes.
We have to, he wants to be referred to as the curse, okay? The curse is saying anticipating is not necessarily knowing how they would vote. So the definition of anticipating is regard as probable. Okay. When the chairman of a board of supervisors says in an official letter to the governor that let me read you the exact quote because I did find it. I anticipate that they will be adopted as a temporary restrictions in the Pima County Health Code. So when you're not supposed to have any sniff of probable when going into a vote. So it's cute that you say that, but the moment and the other thing is, Ramon Valadez has been in the Board of Supes for 24 years. He should know better. This is a good slip.
How many 20 years?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Remember, he was appointed to fill in his uncle Danny Ekstrom's seat after Danny,
of course,
had to leave for
of course
unspecified reasons that I can't get into on the air.
It's the county way.
So let's get the Chucky Boy. Now, what you talking about there, dumbass? What you got there for me? Oh, Chuck, calm down. Calm down. I wonder if Chuck uses Miss Cleo. Matt said, Chris, you keep saying Miss Cleo's like she's alive, but she died so many years ago. She's Miss Cleo, dude. She's the most powerful psychic in the world.
From over there.
Right.
It works.
So this is what I told Matt yesterday. I said, hey, sir, yeah, she's, quote, dead, but it just caught, instead of $4.99 a minute, it's $14.99 a minute because the long distance hell where she's at. So you calm down, Neely. Calm down. All right. So here's the changes. We're using the word when possible now. And this is something that Allie pounded on them on lots of these different things, okay? So you know the temperature checks for the guy delivering your beer?
Yeah.
This is for Kyle, for the blessing, mm-hmm. when they're taking Kyle's temperature.
Yeah. He comes out of the cooler truck with cold beer. Let me check your temperature, you idiot.
You're 91 degrees. You should be dead.
Way to go, Chuck.
So we're going to have when possible.
When possible.
Now, here's another one. Before, it was cloth masks and gloves and frequent hand washing is required. Now it's cloth masks, gloves, and or frequent hand washing.
I'm going to change my name to when possible. That's my new name.
Then, remember the idea that they had to, they wanted the employees to determine whether or not someone had symptoms of COVID-19.
Doctor, can I have a beer? Thank you.
Where's your sound guy with You're So Dumb? I need that guy right now. He's spiritually calling. Miss Cleo's calling to me from the afterlife to say, play that guy. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Do this one.
Okay. All right. So for real. So hold on to that. Don't go away from that, Ed Alexander. We're going to use it a couple more times. So now we're going to have the Pima County Health Notice. We're going to have a posting of a stop. Please don't enter if you have COVID-19. That's the new one.
Oh, thanks. That'll work. Oh, hold on.
Then before, we had to have physical and electronic posting of signs that says you should not come in if you're symptomatic of COVID-19. Now it's and or.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
For real. I love the for real. That's my favorite part of that one. Now, here's the other thing. Remember there was the occupancy. We're going to be 50%, but everyone's space is different and things like that. So now, unless the occupancy limited to 50% unless meeting physical distancing standards allows for a higher occupancy. So now that's a new one. That's a change. They got rid of number six, which was service by takeout, reservation, or call. Remember, they wanted everyone to make a reservation to go to every restaurant in Pima County, including McDonald's. You got to make a reservation to go to Dutch Brothers.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Yeah, the other one.
Oh, there's more. There's more that they got wrong.
This could be a double you're so dumb coming up. And this is on the change, not on the old one.
This is Chuck and his boys. They put a lot of time into this. They had, 8 weeks to get this right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Chuck, you got it nailed.
So here we go. I love this one. So remember there was the idea about they were banning any sort of bar top or counter seating, right? So now we have to have, you're going to love this, bar top or counter seating not allowed, comma, unless each seat is spaced approximately 6 feet apart. So if you and Jules wanted to go to a bar,
yes.
You had to sit 6 feet apart at the same bar.
From my wife.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Like you did that all the time too, right? You want that? You want it? You want
it? Hit me one more time.
Hold on.
You are really dumb. For real.
This is brilliant. This is your county. This is, they're 17. They had an emergency meeting to do this, chance. And they got it all wrong. And everybody knew they got it wrong.
So Sam from Mama said one bar stool space 6 feet apart, .. stupid, .. should be parties space 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing. How could you can have a party. Remember, now check this out. This is how, get the dumb thing ready again, right? So I know your fingers like this. Hey, Patty, he's going to put in a workman's comp claim for a crooked finger. So check this out. Think about it. So one of the rules is you can't have more than 10 people in one party at a table.
Mm-hmm.
But at the bar, each person has to sit 6 feet apart.
You are so dumb. You are
dumb.
Really dumb. For real.
For real.
Really? I know, really. 10's okay.
Now, the other thing is, remember, they are attempting to ban salad bars, buffets, and then the soda refill station.
Yes, I get. So you can't go up and serve yourself. I get it. Okay.
That is now eliminated. The soda buffets and salad bars are still a no-go, but they're now saying soda refill stations are fine. Oh, we're doing it all today. Hand sanitizers or soap available at or adjacent to entrances.
Shut up.
And again, one of the ones that made Bill laugh his head off. Remember when he said, when Chuck said, well, you know, I'm sure the restaurants have soap. The one they also got eliminated was post-documentation cleaning logs online. Remember, they wanted to take your toilet cleaning log and you're going to put it online?
Put it online, yeah. There you go.
And available on request at the entrance, document and cleaning of all public areas. Inclusive of the countertops, the door handles, waiting areas, etc. At least every 2 to 3 hours. Imagine having one of your mom and pops. Oh, honey, did you put the wipe down log on the internet? That's what I love. So when you look at this, even some of the changes, right? And you got Valadez boasting to Ducey. Well, you know, we worked in conjunction. This is what the businesses wanted.
Yeah. Liars. God. Lack of leadership.
Then we got rid of civil...
More? There's more that we make that wrong?
Well, yeah, because, of course, we got to get rid of the...
17 they didn't get...
They got rid of the $500 penalty.
Oh.
Right? For God forbid, as you're middle of rebuilding your business in the midst of an overreaction to a pandemic, here's $500 fine from Uncle Chucky. remember how Trump wanted his put his name on all the stimulus checks?
Yeah, yeah.
What I want is
I got a letter from him, though.
I want Sharon, Ramon, and Betty's name on all the $500 fines. And then they got rid of civil penalties shall be enforced by issuance of a written citation, blah, blah, blah. Remember, these are the people, okay, who have employees walking around a public meeting with no masks on. They're not wiping down the podium and microphone like they want all these restaurateurs to do. I mean, this is the let them eat cake moment, kids.
These are the people who've been sitting in those darn seats for 20 years. Telling you what to do and raising your taxes and listening to whatever Chuck says. Thank you very much. Hello?
Actually, you know what I'd like for you to play as our
what
out,
would you like?
Instead of Python is That's What Friends Are For by Dion.
Oh, no.
Her and I are... simpatico now.
Okay.
So, me, her, and Miss Cleo.
Keep trying.
So, anyway, I'll put the story up by Dan Shearer. There's a 2:00 meeting today that we'll have a whole, I'm sure they'll see some of your favorite restaurateurs at. So, here's the best part, right? How many restaurateurs showed up who said, God, this is great, right? That's one thing we're missing, right? Remember Ramon said, oh, we worked in... He couldn't get any of his restaurateurs who wanted the more draconian crap to show up to a meeting? You guys could produce every other community activist and U of A idiot to go show up to justify all your stuff. I had to sit there that one... You know, the hits I take for this show, right? I sat there the day they did the wall resolution about the wall's evil, and they had all these activists and U of A professors come up when Richard Elias wanted working on the real big stuff to affect everyone's life. Richard Elias did the we got to ban sexual psychological reorientation psychology for homosexuals or whatever he did, right? And they found every U of A, this is a wonderful program, Richard, you know what I mean, but they couldn't find one of their restaurant buddies at Ramon Valadez said, oh, they're on board. You couldn't produce Amber Smith to be the only one from the chamber going, hey, this is great. She says everything you do is great anyway.
So she was wrong.
Because she would, and even she knows she would look like a fool if she was the only one and there's 17 restaurants behind her going, geez, this is crazy. So this is why this is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scam, and they should drop all of them and let these people do. The market will decide. If these folks out there who are worried about coming out because of COVID and blah, 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 it's going to take them longer to get out. But the restaurants are going to do it. In this world of social media and technology, you're going to know the ones that are taking care of business and the ones that are not. I'm still trusting my small business owners, just like I said about week one of this stupid pandemic. Dionne Warwick, let's go.